You're listening to Bookends on Plains FM 96.9. Janet Colson's first novel, The Shark Party, has been described by English biographer Andrew Wilson as a story of a toxic romance in the heady New York art world that reads like a fast-paced thriller. Well, it actually is a fast-paced thriller, Janet. Welcome.
Hello.
You have an MA in English and American Literature, and you have the ideal background for the setting of The Shark Party. Tell me about your work as a major gift fundraiser in the UK.
Well, I had a very long and successful career as an arts fundraiser, starting off with the performing arts in the classical music world. And then I moved to Sadler's Wells Theatre when they were building a new theatre, which opened in 1998. And during that time, I raised a lot of money in New York and other parts of America, but it was mainly New York, from wealthy individuals who were interested in philanthropic causes, particularly in the arts. And I got to know how that world worked. We raised about £60 million for that theatre. Yeah.
What in New Zealand would be quite a different place to come to.
Yes. Following that, I went on to work with the Courtauld Institute and Somerset House when they were turning that. It used to be the place you may have heard of, where we had the births and deaths, but then it became a cultural venue. And that was the time when I got to know more about the art world in New York.
So your research wouldn't be too difficult for the novel?
Well, I think when you research a novel, you have to look at the particular things, some very detailed things that are going to serve your own plot. So I think I had the background, particularly as I was at university at a similar time to Damien Hirst in London. And so I kind of grew up with that kind of the buzz of that new contemporary art. So I kind of knew what memories I wanted to draw on and how my imagination was working on those things. But then when you're writing, you have to make it work for the story. So then you have to find out really intricate things quite often, and it sort of takes you on your own journey.
Of course. So the title, The Shark Party, very good title.
Thank you.
That came from
From Damien Hirst,
yes.
Yeah, because I don't know if you remember that famous artwork. I suppose it came in the 90s originally, but he's done several of them because apparently they do disintegrate over time. But these are sharks floating in tanks of formaldehyde. And I researched a particular episode for the shark when it was on display at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which it really was. And I posited that was a party at which my heroine, Carla, meets the man she's living with, Nathan Lowell.
And that was a good way to go because there's reality there with the artist.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Your protagonist, Carla, she's a creative young woman, and I liked her very much. She's estranged from her father after her mother's death. I'm not going to tell too much of the plot. But she gets drawn into this world of excessive wealth and art dealings, and she becomes Nathan's partner, as you said. But the development of Nathan's determination and his hold over her, I thought you really developed that so subtly and quietly and slowly. So it built to this great climax at the end. I mean, we didn't really know what was going to happen till the last page. And that was, in a first novel, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
And his determination to hold Carla under his power, I mean, that shows a maturity in your writing as you follow through this theme of domestic violence. Did you have that thought all the time?
Yes, I think the theme of domestic violence was something that, without beating people over the head with it, pun intended, I absolutely didn't want to do that. But I wanted to show subtly that power relationship that some men can have over some women. And that is sort of irrespective of class or social status. But I thought it would be interesting to look at it in a situation where the woman is seemingly has everything, you know, and to show in a way that that kind of power play is no respecter of the financial situation that women sometimes find themselves in.
And meeting Patrick at the beginning of the book, he's an environmental photographer, the contrast between Patrick and Nathan was very real for her. And, of course, she finally began to see the situation she was in, didn't she?
She did, yes, without giving too much away.
No.
But what I also was interested in showing is that, I mean, there are many different kinds of people and there are many different kinds of men, but these are two highly contrasting men. And I was fortunate enough quite just before the novel was released to be interviewed by a male journalist called Tom Goulter, who it was a pleasure to talk to. And he was very interested in the dynamics around the men and, you know, how they, you know, as a male reader, how the men differed from each other, and that there are the men that overtly show their power and there are men that actually follow their interests.
That's right. That was that for me was one of the strengths of the book, and also the gradual awakening of Carla's and you know, and how it would feel for her. There's a lot of emotion there, but again, it's very subtle. It's not overdone. And I think, too, often I've found with reading first novels, there are too many characters, and you didn't fall into that trap at all.
Oh, thank you.
You just, you know, you had these three major characters, and I guess Liv was her good friend. But that's why it's so strong, I think. There aren't too many people falling over each other, you know, in the story, because it had to be taut and concise and move along very quickly if it was going to really have some punch, and it certainly did. So
thank you.
I just think you've done amazingly in a first novel. So you've obviously been a very successful fundraiser, and this is exciting to start off your writing like this.
Oh, well, it's so very nice to hear that.
Well, I don't say nice things unless I mean them.
Well, that's
and it's certainly, I read a lot of books and do a lot of interviews, so it's always exciting to find, for me, to find a new writer. And, you know, since you came to Wellington, had you decided that's what you wanted to do?
Yes, I had. I came here in at the beginning of 2010. My husband is a Kiwi, and I'd lived in London since I was a student there. And I felt I'd done what I needed to do in the arts fundraising world. And I'd already begun writing at night school, and I wanted to write a novel. In fact, I had various attempts at that, and quite a lengthy, full-length attempt. And for me, it's been a wonderful journey. I've met great people at the City Rail Creative Writing Programme during my time here, and with mentors and teachers, Mandy Hager, Barbara Elf, Philip Mann, and my wonderful editor, the founder of the Creative Writing Programme, Adrian Jansen.
Well, you couldn't have gone wrong with any of those people.
No, and what they taught me was how to tell a good story. They knew I had a good story, but it was the craft of writing, and that's what's so important. And I think when you were talking about the number of characters and this kind of thing, I'm quite experienced at thinking about my audience through my own professional work. You know, how will a concert play? Have we got too many pieces going into that? How will the donors respond to this kind of art exhibition, you know, or that one? So I was very reader-focused, and I wanted to think about the enjoyment of the reader as I was writing, and learning to put my own interests. They're important, they drive it, but they're not the most important. It's what's going to serve the story.
Yes, that's always the key thing, isn't it?
Mm.
What's going to serve the story.
Yeah.
Do you miss the life in London?
I miss the people in England because my family is there, and I miss the variety, that whole melting pot of London, but we live in a very multicultural society here now in Wellington and the whole of New Zealand, and it's really a privilege to be a guest in other people's country. It's also my, you know, the nationality of my son and my husband. So I think it's an experience living away that probably many writers need in order to sort of actualize their creativity.
Yes, and I think it's probably wise to set your first novel somewhere else, often when you haven't been here for very long. But there's no need to ever set a novel in New Zealand. Nobody needs to. We did go through a sort of, not quite sure what you'd call it, but through a stage where people were criticised. I remember Elizabeth Knox being criticised for The Vintner's Luck because it was set in France. You know, we became quite parochial about New Zealand novels. You couldn't win a prize in a New Zealand competition unless it was set in New Zealand. What nonsense. Yeah. So it's refreshing always to have that variety. Sometimes it works, you know, it's obvious it should be set in New Zealand. Sometimes it isn't. And I think all our writers have, you know, gone far and wide in their settings.
I think that's right. I think that, I mean, I started wanting to write a novel set in New York while I was still living in London, and the reason for that was that I didn't feel able to write about London while I was living there. And also, English people writing about England, if you like, it does become a very, I'm not saying I never want to do it, but it does, inevitably you end up talking about class and the social distinctions that kind of inform the way people operate in the UK. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, it's a hugely rich thing, but it's a different kind of thing. And with this novel, I wanted the story to be about every woman at one level. You know, a sort of, if New York can be a neutral setting, well, it can be, because we're all so used to it in film. And I wanted it to be a place where anything can happen and we're not necessarily governed by a social stereotype.
Well, I loved it, Janet. It's got a meaty underbelly, I suppose, and it's not just a straight plot that's a thriller and something happens. It's got that domestic violence theme right through it, under it, and I loved it. So congratulations on
Thank
the Shark
you,
Party.
Thank you so much.
It's a great summer read by Janet Colson, her first novel, and it's published by Escalator Press.
And join us, Maureen Rout and Ruth Todd, next Tuesday on Bookends on Plains FM 96.9.